This is a WSMI podcast from the Tally Broadcasting Station.
Here are your closing grain futures quotes from the Chicago Board of Trade. March corn was 425, up 1. May corn, 432 and a quarter, up a half. July corn, 438 and a half, no change. March soybeans were 1280 and a half, down 36. May soybeans, 1264, down 33 and a quarter. July soybeans, 1249 and three quarters, down 32 and a quarter. March wheat was 562 and a quarter, down 1 1/4. May wheat, 569, down 1 1/2. July wheat, 575 and a half, down 1 1/2. Now time for your cash grain report from the Illinois Department of Agriculture.
Thank you. I'm Bob Reese, and this is Tuesday's report of the grain prices and trends prepared by the USDA and the Illinois Department of Agriculture. Illinois country grain prices were mixed on Tuesday afternoon. Rumors of China canceling soybean purchases pushed soybeans lower. Corn prices found support with technical trading, and wheat continues its downward trend. In northern and western Illinois, country grain dealers quoted shell corn bids 1 to 3 cents higher at 401 to 421. Soybean bids were 37 to 38 cents lower at 1260 to 1275. In the central part of the state, country grain dealers quoted shell corn bids 1 cent higher at 397 to 422. Soybean bids were 36 to 43 cents lower at 1273 to 1306. In the southern part of the state, shell corn bids were 1 to 2 cents higher at 411 to 424. Soybean bids were 36 to 51 cents lower at 1291 to 1318. Wheat bids were 1 to 2 cents lower at 543 to 590. Illinois soybean processors' cash soybean bids were 36 cents lower at 1291 to 1311, with the basis steady at 10 to 30 over the March. High Pro soybean meal on a truck basis was offered at $451.50 to $461.50 per ton, and that was $18 lower, with the basis steady at 35 to 45 over the March. Illinois corn processors' cash corn bids were 1 to 2 cents higher at 425 to 432, with the basis steady to 1 cent higher at option to 7 over the March. Illinois River barge loading elevators quoted their producer corn bids steady to a penny higher at 415 to 429. The basis steady to 1 cent lower at 10 under to 4 over the March. Soybeans ended 41 to 51 cents lower at 1294 to 1315, with the basis down 5 to 15 at 13 to 34 over the March. New crop wheat prices were mixed at 551 to 564, with the basis steady to 3 cents higher at 25 to 12 under the March. East St. Louis barge loading terminal elevators placed their producer corn bids mixed at 441 to 442. These elevators dropped their soybean prices 37 to 39 cents, with quotations of 1337 to 1338. Soft wheat closed 1 to 2 cents lower at 597 to 598, and Milo ended the day 1 cent higher at 474 to 475. Now on to contract bids to producers for new crop delivery. Starting in the northern and western part of the state, corn ranged from 407 to 417, soybeans from 1058 to 1084. In the central part of the state, corn ranged from 401 to 422, and soybeans from 1072 to 1105. Now in the southern part of the state, corn ranged from 403 to 422, soybeans from 1074 to 1109. Soft wheat ranged from 535 to 561. That concludes our report. I'm Bob Reese with the U.S. and Illinois Department of Agriculture.
And here are your closing livestock future quotes from the Chicago Mercantile Exchange. February live cattle were 141.55, up $1.20. April live cattle were 140.22, up 92 cents. June live cattle, 132.30, up 85 cents. January feeder cattle were 169.80, down 20 cents. March feeder cattle, 168.32, up 40 cents. April feeder cattle, 169.27, up 62 cents. February lean hogs were 85.97, down 20 cents. April lean hogs, 92.37, up 47 cents. May lean hogs, 99.80, up 20 cents. Now time for your cash livestock report from the Illinois Department of Agriculture.
Thank you. This is Bob Reese with the U.S. and Illinois Department of Agriculture with Tuesday's the 21st afternoon livestock report. From the Illinois Direct Sow Report, slaughter sows were $1 to $3 lower with moderate demand for moderate offerings. U.S. 1 and 3 grade sows under 400 pounds were 45 to 52, 4 to 5 weights 48 to 58, 5 to 550 weights 54 to 59, and 550 and up 55 to 60. On the Illinois Direct Hog Trade, barrels of gilts and gilts at country buying points were trading lower with moderate demand for moderate offerings ranging in price from 50 to 55. Receipts for Illinois hogs today totaled 9,915 head, and for the Fairview Sale Barn special bred cow sale, the January bred cow sale was met with active trade, good demand, and a large crowd for quality offering. Despite adverse weather conditions, bred cows accounted for 95% of the offerings and cow-calf pairs 5%. Starting with the bred cows, medium and large second stage young, they're bringing $1,600 to $1,800. Bred cows, medium and large third stage young, lighter weight cows were $1,300 to $2,550, and the 1,200 weight cows were $1,900 to $2,600. Bred cows, large, third stage, young, $1,600 to $2,775. And bred cows, large, third stage, middle age, were bringing $1,600 to $2,450. Cow-calf pairs, medium and large one, young, $2,400 to $2,800. Now on the direct cattle trade, from the National Daily Pork FOB Plant Report, trading for retail and processing cuts were established with 353 loads traded. Calculations for a 200-pound pork carcass was $87.38, and that was 77 cents lower. From the National Box Beef Cutout Report, values for select and choice and select beef carcasses were trading higher. Choice carcasses were $239.74, and that was $3.16 higher, with the select carcasses at $237.15, and that was $2.70 higher. For the estimated daily slaughter under federal inspection, cattle slaughter was estimated at 119,000 compared to 120,000 for last week and 127,000 for a year ago. Hog slaughter was estimated at 430,000, which compared to 425,000 last week and 425,000 a year ago. That concludes our livestock report. I'm Bob Reese with the U.S. and Illinois Department of Agriculture.
And here are your cash grain bids from Hog Inc. January corn delivered to Greenfield, $4.22. February corn delivered to Greenfield, $4.26. January corn delivered to Scottville, $4.13. February corn delivered to Scottville, $4.17. January beans delivered to Greenfield or Scottville, $13.10. February beans delivered to Greenfield or Scottville, $12.99. January wheat delivered to Scottville, $5.62. Once again, their pre-opening prices are: corn at Greenfield is $4.22, corn at Scottville is $4.13, beans at Greenfield or Scottville are $13.10, and wheat at Scottville is $5.62. Starting off this week, the estimates for the Brazilian soybean crop were dropped by 700,000 tons. But Arlen Suderman of Water Street Solutions says that isn't going to have as big of an impact as it might seem.
Yeah, but it's still going to be a big crop. Basically, we do see some dry areas in Sao Paulo, which is about 10 to 15% of the corn and soybean belt. But other than that, the crop is looking pretty good, and the market's pretty comfortable with it. and generally expecting it to be large enough. I think the bigger question is whether it can ship the what it produces. We saw all the infrastructure problems create some difficulties in getting those soybeans out the door last year with an even bigger crop this year. China's concerned about that once again. Brazil has made improvements in its port facilities, but China's still not taking any chances on that, still being very aggressive in taking shipments of U.S. soybeans until they can be comfortable that Brazil can get those soybeans out the door.
Well, I guess that's good news for farmers over here.
Yeah, it's extending our export season and basically using up soybeans we can't afford to ship that we'll need for crushing in the second half of the marketing year. So like last year, I still expect that we're going to have to import soybeans or soy meal in order to meet our needs for livestock producers domestically here in the last half of the marketing year. So that means that even though we'll see at some point here over the next 60 to 90 days a collapse of our soybean export market, we'll probably still keep soy meal prices high in order to pay the bill for importing soy meal and soybeans into the United States. So for livestock producers, it means that probably not a big relief for them.
Suderman also gave a preview on what we should expect to see in the markets this week, emphasizing that all eyes are on South American weather right now.
Well, the key is going to be South America. We saw some rains in Cordoba and Buenos Aires overnight, with more rains expected over the next several days. The heat is generally abated. We saw 95 to 105 degree Fahrenheit temperatures on Friday and Saturday, and then we saw some moderation into the 80s and 90s. We'll see a little bit of a peak on Wednesday in northern areas, but just then some moderation. But basically, rains covering anywhere from a half inch to 2.5 inches of rain over better than 75% of the grain belt. The 6 to 10 day period is expected to be dry. The real key is going to be the 11 to 15 day period. If the 11 to 15 day period is wet, as some models indicate, then I think the trade is going to assume, okay, South America's crop is okay. Commodity Weather Group, the folks that we work with, are very skeptical about those 11 to 15 day rains. They're not sure that those models can perform and bring the rains that are needed at that time period. And if they do not, then that takes us right back into a stressful situation with reduced production out of Argentina. Brazil is still going to have a good crop. The question is how much of an impact would be on Argentina. In other words, we can have problems in Argentina and not necessarily be bullish. It depends on the scope of the problems, and I think that's really what those 11 to 15 day rains are going to suggest, and traders will be watching as we go into this weekend just whether those models continue to progress those rains forward.
Again, that was Arlen Suderman of Water Street Solutions. Missouri is set to hold the second Heart of America Dairy Expo this week. The expo started last year and has grown into the largest dairy trade show in the heart of the Midwest, outside the major dairy-producing states. The show, organized by Dave Drennan of the Missouri Dairy Association, is open for dairy producers and companies throughout the nation, or the world for that matter.
It's a regional meeting. It's open to any dairy farmer and allied industry, but we really promote it with, in addition to Missouri, the states around us, like Arkansas, Oklahoma, Kansas, Iowa, and Southern Illinois. We're going to have 56 exhibitors. We even have one coming down from Canada, but a variety of suppliers, dairy equipment, animal health, animal feed companies. It's a little something for everybody. You'll be in the trade show.
Drennan says the schedule is packed with speakers that include the National Milk Producers Federation CEO Jim Mullern, who speaks on dairy policy. The show kicks off Thursday in Springfield, Missouri. The expo schedule, along with registration information, is available at heartofamericadairy.org. When you think of Illinois, you probably don't immediately think of aquaculture, but some Illinois farmers are turning to it as a diversification tool to help support the family farm. I spoke with Paul Hitchens, aquaculture specialist at Southern Illinois University, for details on what the aquaculture industry in Illinois looks like.
We probably got around 60 farmers that are involved in aquaculture, some doing various species of fish. The main three that they're growing here in Illinois are hybrid striped bass, which are grown in mainly strip cuts or surface coal mine lakes in deep pits in cages. The other species is largemouth bass, which are generally grown in catfish-type ponds that are more shallow ponds that are earth ponds, and those are usually harvested by seining. So they would get the fish out during the harvest, put them in a holding tank, and then the haul truck can pick those up. The third species that we're doing here in Illinois are indoor systems with tilapia, which that was probably would be the smallest volume that is being done. Most of them are either being done in the strip cuts or the regular earthen ponds for largemouth bass. So those are three main species, and they're various volumes that we get out, but generally the largemouth bass is one of the bigger selling volumes that that I sell. And typically I might sell in a year's time maybe out of Illinois probably around 200 to maybe 300,000 pounds. The striped bass, a little bit less, around 200 to 250,000 pounds a year, I would say.
Most of the aquaculture operations in Illinois are located in southern Illinois, with Hitchin saying the most northern operations he works with are just south of Vandalia. He says the surface coal mine lakes are ideal places to raise fish. The climate also works well, as the summers are not unbearably hot and winters are relatively mild. Hitchin said the polar vortex that rolled through wasn't even cause for much worry.
Yeah, it was. This has been, since I've been in southern Illinois, our worst year on the cold. It really doesn't hurt the fish. It just makes it more difficult to harvest the fish and get them to market. Once the ice forms on the lakes, it makes it a lot more difficult to be harvesting the fish. But as far as the fish themselves, no, it didn't hurt them.
But why is aquaculture becoming a viable option for southern Illinois farmers? Hitchin says there are a few reasons.
Well, the main reason is people are getting more interested in eating fish just because it's a quality product. There's a lot of advantages to eating fish over other foods. You get the omega-3s and that sort of thing. And the fish from the ocean are being way overfished, so there seems to be, a depletion from the ocean itself. So there's getting less and less fish available from nature. So the aquaculture's got to, pick up that void and try to get more volume to market to satisfy the needs and what the people are wanting to, buy for their own needs. There's always going to be a shortage just because you cannot rely on the wild. So the aquaculture industry is just going to have to keep growing to try to pick up that void.
Right. There's a need for more aquaculture growers, so people are rising to the occasion.
Exactly.
And how competitive would you say this industry is? Are Illinois aquaculture growers typically competing against each other or people in other states?
Really, we don't have a lot of competition, at least from the Illinois fish, mainly because we're producing a species that we're doing, we're selling to the live market. So a lot of problems you get is when you compete with overseas markets, and they have a lot of cheaper labor. Everything is over there seems to be a lot cheaper, and they can do a product for a lot less money than it takes per pound that we do here in the United States. But since they can't get a live product to the market over here, we have no competition from overseas. So basically, as long as we don't, try to do any of the, processing where we're selling either frozen fillets or, fish on ice, anything that's processed, then we really don't have much competition from anybody, at least on the overseas end, where it can really drive the price down. So basically, our aquaculturists here in Illinois, since we are doing live and we're targeting the live market, we get a lot better price. And we don't have a lot of competition from, anywhere other than, here in the United States. And Illinois seems to be situated where we're up a little bit further north than some of the, southern states as far as the species that we're growing. So if, You know, we stay with a hybrid striped bass, a largemouth bass. We're kind of in a zone up here where it's not too cold, but it's not too hot either. So we kind of got the best of both worlds here in Illinois.
And as I understand, you help the farmers market their fish. What are some of the largest markets that Illinois fish are going to?
Yes, the biggest markets are up in Canada. Toronto takes most of the fish that we produce here in Illinois, and most of that is going to the Asian market up there. I also sell to Chicago, St. Louis, Cincinnati. I've sold to New York, Philadelphia. Wherever there's an ethnic group of people, they seem to, you know, prefer to the live market. That's exactly what they're looking for. This, you know, we harvest the fish live. They go on the truck live. They get to the market live, and they're purchasing, you know, live swimming around in the tank. So we've kind of got this specialty market where they can't really get the fish, you know, anywhere else. And the closest point for them, especially up in Canada, would be Illinois. You know, so it kind of works out good for everybody.
That's great. And I bet that that's kind of a feat to transport all of these live fish.
Yes. Yeah. And, yeah, when you're talking, you know, thousands of pounds at a time, yeah, you've got to keep your eye on everything and, you know, make sure everything goes off without a hitch, because you don't want 3 tons of dead fish on a truck when it gets up there. So, yeah, it's there's a lot of careful watching to do to make sure that everything works out okay, keep the buyers happy.
I bet. I would hate to be the person who has to clean up 3 tons of dead fish.
Yeah, that would not be a fun job.
Again, that was Paul Hitchens, aquaculture specialist at Southern Illinois University, on the aquaculture industry in Illinois. Be sure you tune in for this afternoon's farm show, where we'll talk with Illinois farmers who have started their own aquaculture operations. That's all for this morning's farm show. For WSMI, I'm Angela Besch. Thanks for tuning in.